Welcome to episode 19 of It's No Secret Podcast Live. We are your hosts, Bianca Rose, Teresa, and Shara. Say hello, ladies.
Hello.
Hola, everybody. Welcome back to another episode. Shout out to those of you guys who are watching us live on our Instagram, YouTube, and Facebook accounts. We really appreciate you. But with a new episode is a new version of our highs and lows. We're going to start with our lows like we always do. Bianca, you get to go first.
I do get to go first.
No, I'm just kidding.
My low is I had to go get blood work done on Friday. And it turns out I'm very low on vitamin D. So I can't tell if I need to be in the sun or if I need someone's sun. Instructions are not clear.
Must revisit with the physician for follow-up. Get you some. No, just kidding. Oh man, that does suck though.
I think everyone's deficient in vitamin D typically. If not vitamin D, then iron. Those are like the two common ones.
Yes.
I'd been tired, so I thought like my B12 was low. Mm-hmm. So it's like, no. Vitamin D also makes you feel that way.
Yeah. I was really tired too. That was one of my complaints last time I went to the doctor too. And they were like, she was like, I'm going to check your vitamin D, your iron, your thyroid, everything.
I did a whole workup.
Yeah.
Workup. Everything else is fine.
That's good. That's really good.
That's not my high though.
No, I hope it's better than that. Milo is that a bitch is tired. I'm so tired today. I don't know what it is about today. You know what? I take that back. I know exactly what the fuck it is. There was a thunderstorm last night and I've been up since 2 o'clock in the fucking morning. That's why.
My dog is terrified of thunderstorms. So yeah, it definitely was thundering.
Yeah. No, I think some lightning hit near here somewhere because I felt the house shake and that's what woke me up. And our toddler just started like sleeping in her own room. So I we both get up and run over there to make sure like she's good. Aww. You know, she was knocked the fuck out. She's like, I was just like, oh man. But of course, no, we can't go back to sleep anymore. Yeah. So that's why I'm tired. Shari, what's your low?
My low this week has been that my allergies have been killing me.
Have they?
It's so funny. So I work in the afternoons. I'm like typically outside more than I'm indoors all day. And every day when I go home after work, like my eyes are itching so bad. I had a total episode Monday. Like stuff was coming out my eye. I had a yellow bubble in my, like it got so bad on Monday. I was like between last week and then started off this week. I was like, no, I'm not doing that. I won't be going outside for the rest of the week because I can't keep going home feeling like this.
Because
I had to take my contacts out because yeah, my eyes have been like, it's just been horrible. No matter how much medicine, Flonase, everything that I do, nothing is working. It's going to be a rough season being out at baseball games. So.
That sucks.
Literally allergic to the outside. I think I forget that allergy is an allergic reaction.
Mm-hmm.
Not like not a cold. I'm like, no, that's an allergic reaction. Like that is a thing.
And it is a part of my daily life.
Yes, it is very horrible. So
is there something in the air right now out there? Or?
It's just because it's been hot and like, so the wind is blowing. Like it's just been up and down. Like literally Monday, I think we were like 82. Then today it's like 69. And we're going to drop to like 62. And then it'll be back in the 80s next week. So it's just that wind. It's just everything being everywhere. And I don't have time for it.
Yeah, it's been extra windy out here too. So I'm surprised. But I take allergy medicine on a regular now. Yeah, I think I'm immune to that shit now.
I'm like, that's like a vitamin I take every day.
Same.
Yeah.
They were actually, one of my coworkers was telling me you can become addicted to allergy medicine. I was like, oh, I need to try not to take it and see if I have any reactions. Detox time. Anyway, let's move on to some highs.
Before we move on, Cassandra in the chat on Facebook says hello, ladies.
Hola. Hola, Pedro. What's your high be?
Aside from Easter, and game night was such a success. It was so much fun. I'm sorry to Gabe, but Michael B. Jordan was the best part of my weekend. I went to go see Sinners, and I'd go see it again.
What's better than one Michael Jordan? Michael B. Jordan?
Two Michael B. Jordan. I can see it the second time and watch the other one.
Pay more attention to that one. Yeah. I still haven't seen Sinners, but I want to.
Oh, it's good. So good. And the soundtrack is pretty good. I was listening to the soundtrack like after the movies.
Oh, nice. So that's always good. Yeah. I definitely need to go see that.
All right. Well, let me know. I'll go with you.
Come on, B. Let's go. My high was actually Gabe's little game night for his birthday. His cousin, George, shout out to George, came out from Crockett to spend the weekend with us, which was really nice. He's just a good ass vibe. Like, he's such good energy. And
it was fun.
Yeah, to have him around for the weekend was fun. And then our friend Philly, shout out to her too, came from Frisco, Texas. So we had two people visiting that we had not seen in a while. And then, of course, you know, the rest of our friends kind of came by. But a few people came and we took them out to dinner and then had a game night. It was fun. It was a good time.
What I learned is that everyone is competitive and fun. I like how when we were introducing everybody, we're like, oh, you know, George Davis, this is you in the comments. Oh, yeah. This is you in the comments. Like, you'll meet Nikita. You might know her as this one in the comment. And so I'm like, wow, we got a lot of fans at this table. It's a little meet and greet. I know it's for you, Gabe.
It's so like a meet and greet. I know. Yeah, like Philly. So I don't know if you know, B, but Philly was on my old podcast with me. Mm-hmm. So like when she came through, I was like, oh, you're going to get to meet, you know, Bianca, old podcast, meet new podcast. Like,
I love it. Yeah. It was fun. It was a good vibe.
It was a good time. Michelle said hi in our Instagram.
Hi, Michelle.
Hola. What was your high, Shari?
I haven't had one yet.
What?
It's been just pretty like a basic ass week for me.
It's just meh.
And sometimes that's a good thing.
No.
Yeah. Like, you know what? It's not a hectic week and that's a change. And I'll take that as a win.
Right.
I mean, I guess I don't know if it was a high. It was like a funny moment. I had some fuckery happen on Saturday to me, and I thought it was pure fucking comedy.
Would you like to share the fuckery or a glimpse of the fuckery? I don't know how else to say that.
See, look at it. Already bring a smile to your face. Share. Yeah,
it was just some entertainment with a guy friend, and like, again, friend. Totally wasted, and it was like kind of like I literally went to work on Monday and I was like, dang, why does my stomach hurt? I think I laughed so much on Saturday
that
abs were like truly hurting. I didn't realize they still existed after two children, but they do. So yeah, just pure fucking fuckery, because like, you know, when people get drunk, they say and do the craziest shit. But yeah, it was quite entertaining. So not really my eye, but it was like a good, it was a fun time. It was a funny moment.
That's still a high.
I wouldn't call it high. It was like, oh, I'm excited for this. No, it was like, what the fuck is happening here? But okay.
Okay.
Yeah.
What I love when you can just like laugh until you're crying until you're keeled over.
Entire room was laughing because everyone's watching like, what is happening here?
So no, that's good.
It was a good laugh.
It was a nice little comedic event for you.
Yes, it was.
Well, that's good. I'm glad everybody had a good week. And that our highs are highing. What was that?
I said good weeks.
Yes, yeah. Good weeks. Well, that's good, what we're having. Yeah. Good Wednesday to Wednesday. That's my new weeks now, you guys.
Honestly, Nikita had mentioned that. I'm like, you're so right. Now I have to reassess my highs and lows.
Yeah.
The timeline just shifts. So now I have to look back at my calendar.
Yeah. It's Wednesday.
19 weeks that we've been doing this, ladies. And I still, like, every week I'm like, Wednesday to Wednesday, what happened?
Can you believe we're almost to episode 20? That's crazy.
Are we drinking for the 21st? That's all I need to know.
Yes, I am. I can't speak for everybody else.
Legal age. We'll have a good time.
We will be of drinking age. All right. Well, today and today's episode, we are going to be talking about sex, baby.
Let's talk about you and me. Let's talk about all the good things and the
best. You know that song, but you didn't know the damn D'Angelo song.
I'm not a baby. I don't know what to tell you. I know that song from Pitch Perfect. I'm a baby.
I'm just a baby. Oh, yes. We're going to talk about sex. We're going to, you know, keep it classy, right? Grown, yeah. Sexy.
Michelle in the comments says, I'm drinking for the 19th. She's not waiting.
That's all right, girl. Do you, boo. Do you. Have an extra shot for me.
Honestly.
But we're going to talk about sex today. No topic is off the table. So whatever, you know, you ladies want to bring up, if there's anything that our listeners want to bring up in the chat, we are more than happy to join you guys in the conversation. But I don't even know where I want to start. I really want to talk about, okay, this is where I'm going to start. So if anybody ever watched the first era of my former podcast, Peaches and Cream, you guys know we avidly talked about sex. Like in every single episode, we actually had a sex topic section, like segment in our show. So we openly talked about sex. Now, if you really think about this, this was how many years ago now? 14, 15 years ago that we started it, maybe? Yeah, 15 years ago this year.
15. Mm-hmm.
Pre-children?
Yeah.
Pre-two of my children, yes.
Pre-family.
Yeah, I'm like two of the children, yes. I actually had one in the midst of it all, but yeah. When our mommy and daddy love each other. Yes, exactly. But we used to talk about sex a lot. And this was 15 years ago where, one, podcasts were not a very popular thing yet. Like we were one of the very few that were doing it. And two, for women to be sitting around at a table openly talking about sex wasn't always, yeah, it was very taboo. I do want to talk about, at least for us older women, kind of the evolution of sex through age from like when we started to where we kind of are now. And then kind of how that affected your confidence and how you feel about yourself throughout the process too. So I can speak for me that when I was younger, I did feel an added pressure to be sexy, to be not necessarily provocative, but like to be appealing in a sexual way, if that makes sense. Mm-hmm. You know, to have people be attracted to you. I felt more of a pressure to do that because growing up, that's how people described me. Oh, you're so sexy would be comments I would get. Oh, that voice is so sexy. Oh, you look so sexy. You know what I mean? Like that was the classification. So I felt like I kind of had to fit a box without really having to fit the box, if that makes sense. Mm-hmm. And having my podcast helped with that, or not helped me, but like helped in that image as well, because we were talking about sex so openly all the time. So people listened to the show and they misconstrued it as like, oh man, these girls are down. You know what I mean? Like they're down for the cause, when really we're just like, no, we're just openly talking about our sexuality and we're comfortable with who we are and what we do and what pleases us and what doesn't. And y'all are not. So yeah. But so for me, that's changed a lot. I don't feel that pressure anymore for many reasons. but then more so like I'm still very comfortable in my skin and still very comfortable in talking about sex openly with people. And you can think what you want is kind of how I feel now versus how I felt when I was younger.
I feel like for me, I'm still at that age where I am learning myself, mm-hmm. because there's that stigma of like the men are going to be pleased regardless, and the women, you know, hardly ever actually enjoy it just as much as the men. It's more of like a job to females sometimes because it's not as enjoyable. So I'm in that era of I'm trying to self-love more. I can get the looks, the compliments easy. Do I cave to them? No. So I think I'm like in that midst of, do I want to participate as much as I'm expected or assumed that I am being single and in late 20s, early 30s now? Like, because that was my big thing is that everyone assumed that I am single, I am attractive to some people, like assuming that you are just sexually exploited and just taking part in that assumption. I kind of fought that a lot in my 20s.
Really? Wow.
Believe it or not, I went a good 5 years celibate.
Oh, nice. That's
That
good.
was not the impression that people were getting. They're like, oh, she's getting it. People gave me a reputation I didn't even have. Like it was just a stigma of that, oh, she's single, she has to be sleeping around, like this, this, and that. And I'm like, I'm not talking to anybody. My phone be dry, baby.
Yeah. Damn. You also have, though, a very outgoing personality, and a lot of times people misconstrue that for flirtatious or whatever. You know what I mean? Like, just because we're nice to people or friendly with people or friendly with strangers doesn't mean we're fucking them. Like, especially if it's someone from the opposite sex or even of the same sex nowadays. Like, it's getting misconstrued no matter what you do. So, like, in your defense, you are a very bubbly personality and you're like, you know yourself, so you carry an air of confidence. And so a lot of people can kind of mix
Yeah,
it up.
I feel like I get that that assumption a lot. And I did throughout my early 20s when I was the least sexually active. So when I got the most assumptions.
That's crazy.
Yeah.
That's crazy.
That's crazy. I think for me, like, I come from a time when sex was a bad thing. I grew up like, don't worry about sex, don't think about sex, like sex wasn't talked about, women didn't speak about it, like, it was a totally different time. Certain aspects of sex were like forbidden. So I think that for me, I think I've obviously grown. I'm, totally comfortable with talking about it. Obviously, I did, the first era of podcasting, and we obviously think we talked about that probably more than anything else. And that definitely brought me out of my shell because I was always very reserved about talking about things like that and what I liked and didn't like and what I agreed with and didn't agree with when it came to having sex. Like I think probably where I got my nickname being Miss Attitude. Like I was always very opinionated and stood on what I believed. And obviously with growing up and maturing, like my thoughts have changed on a lot of things that I could think that I've said before in the past. But I think like I never felt pressure to be a sex symbol or be sexy. Like to me, I've never felt that way. Like I look at women, like I can remember before I even had my son, like maybe right before I had my son, I think it was Beyonce had some show she had did and I was watching it on TV and I'm like, oh my God, like, she just sells it. Like, she's so in her femininity, like it amazed me. And I'm like, I could never, like, I don't feel that way. I always feel like I'm more of a tomboy than I am of a woman. So for me, it's not like I don't carry that, like, I have to feel this way or I have to be that way. I'm just comfortable with who I am, and like, you either like it or don't. Like, I know I'm attractive because I do get that feedback, but at the same time, like, I never felt the pressure to want to be, a certain type of way or feel a certain type of way when it comes to that. Yeah, like, I probably was the last one to lose my virginity of my friends. Like, it's just I wasn't there. And I think it just had a lot to do with how I felt about myself and how I still feel about myself. Like I've gone through, even with two children now, I've gone through years of celibacy, like big chunks, like 3, 4 years at a time. you know, like, I've never been big on it. It's not like a end all be all for me. I'll say that. Yeah.
I think to that point too, like, you know, you say that you feel more comfortable just as a tomboy. You don't feel the need to, like, you know, feel or look sexy or whatever. I feel like that is something that we all have to learn too, is what does make us feel sexy, and do we need to feel sexy to feel that confidence in it?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Like I said, I know I'm beautiful. I don't, like,
I know.
Yeah. Like, the self-esteem factor is not there. Like, I know I'm that. I'm that bitch. Don't ever get it twisted. But, like, you know, like, to put yourself out there, like, you have women who want to wear certain things that makes them feel sexy. And I'm like, does that, like, you know, I never felt the need to have to be that way or to do that. I wore things because of how it made me feel.
Right.
Just comfortable in my own skin, not to portray an image to people. But it's funny, I had said, just in this topic, y'all know I'm a fan of Addie, so obviously, right, second part of the union came. And it was so funny because I laughed. One of the girls had said something to the other girl to the extent of, like, oh, like, shut up. All you do is suck dick or something to that extent. Like, like, you was trying to clown her. And I was like, in this day and age, the first thing I said was, what kind of cap is that? Like, bitch, who ain't sucking dick? Like, you know.
Right.
I had to, like, stop and think about it. And I was like, God, back in my time, that was a total jab.
Man, like, that was a jab.
To me, back in the day, the audacity, because you lying. We don't do that. Like, you know, like, that was a no-no. That's what I meant, like, to the, like, certain aspects of sex was like, no. Girls who gave head was like, oh, she a hoe.
She a ho-ho.
Yeah. Like, it was bad.
Because now everyone's so open about sucking dick, so bad. The new taboo is eating ass.
Yes.
Well, you can take that too far, too.
It's just so different now. Like, it is so much more open. People are more in touch with their sexuality, whatever it may be. And so it is a very different time, to Shari's point, though. Because, that was very taboo. And now we talk about it like it's nothing. You know what I mean? Like,
I like that trend on TikTok where there are, like, some videos and they're, you know, the person's being so open about, like, their sexual opinion or experience or something like that. And in the comments, everyone's like, mind you, this is my first impression of you. Like, everyone is way too open about some things where it's like, oh, hold
on. Yeah. A different time.
Yeah, we did live in a different time. But like, back to, like, Shari's point with that too, and what I was saying earlier, like, with our old podcast, you know, we were openly talking about all kinds of raunchy shit. Like, it wasn't even just, like, surface level sex. Like, it was like, we want to know your fetishes. We want to know your favorite positions. Have you ever tried this? Have you ever done this? Have you ever, like, we were getting everybody. Like,
who's going to go home and try it and come back and report?
Right. Like, that's the kind
tell
of
me if it's actually realistic, if you can, like, get into that position.
Exactly.
Our segment was called the position of the week.
So, yeah, like, we had one that was the position.
Came up with a different position and somebody had to try it. Somebody had to get feedback. Somebody, like, it was a, like, detail, like, we were, and again, I think even then, in a time when that wasn't to be talked about,
right,
especially at a table full of women,
yes,
to the world.
Not, and like, at the time we had no guys on the show, like, it was really just women,
and it wasn't like we were just sitting amongst ourselves talking, like, we were putting this out there in the world. And, you know, I think it was definitely life-changing for a lot of us and people who listen, because I think it did make people feel comfortable with wanting to talk about it and, you know, like, not feeling ashamed. I'll say that.
And that's the thing. It's like, it's just, it was so frowned upon to talk about what you like and what you don't like without that shame back then. But now it's so different. Now people are very comfortable talking about what they like and what they don't like in just open conversation. It's not even in, like, a relationship type setting no more. Now people are more like, ooh, how do I tell somebody this on the spot? You know what I mean? Like, that's their concern now, is like, okay, I know what I like. I know what I don't like. And right now you might not be doing exactly what I like. So how do I tell you? You know what I mean? Like that's more of the concern now, where before we were like, oh no, we don't talk about Bruno. Like, no.
Not the dog reference and a thing.
Sorry. Sorry, children. Yeah, like so for Bianca, that you are part of, I consider you part of the younger generation, even though we're part of the same generation technically. But like, how is it for you in conversations, just in general, with general public or people you meet? Like, does it come up often? Do you guys talk about it openly? Like, how is it for you?
To your point, it is a very open table talk where we can be at Chili's talking about this on a Saturday at 1 p.m. With a child sitting behind the booth, like, right. Sorry, he's going to get the birds and the bees talk by overhearing our conversation, because it's not even a secret anymore. It's not a secret in general. People are having sex. Great.
Right.
How? Share your thoughts. Share your experiences. Share, you know, again, strength in numbers and just solidarity of like, oh, I'm not alone in this. I've also experienced this. Or maybe you should try this. Not only do we feel comfortable enough to talk about your likes and dislikes, but we're able to talk about things that like, oh, here are my bad experiences, what led to this, or what happens afterwards. It opens up so many topics of conversation, whether it be like topics of birth control, topics of, you know, those kinds of extremities. And even just like, girls, what do we do to prepare for the night? Here's drink some cranberry juice, some pineapple juice, some your diet affects it. Coffee makes you, you know, have a better orgasm. Like just I've learned so much more from people being so open about these conversations than I could have in a sex ed class.
Oh, and absolutely.
So it's been so much easier to not only that, also the confidence that women have gained in sex, where it's like, to my point earlier, where it's like it wasn't always enjoyable for women, but now, you know, the confidence in women saying, you know, telling each other, don't fake an orgasm, let that man know that it's bad. Like, you're boosting an ego for what?
I have been preaching that since I started.
You're gonna make him think that it's good, so he's gonna do it every time, and you're never gonna be satisfied.
Girl,
these are the conversations that are now like, oh shit, let's break that, you know, that I was gonna say stigmatism. Like, let's break that cycle of just like, we don't have to do this, or we can do this.
No, I have always, and Shari can vouch for me from our past, I've always been a big advocate of not faking shit, because you're doing yourself a disservice, ladies. Okay. Like, please don't do that. And it gets to that place where if sex is more of a performance than pleasurable, then that's a fucking problem. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? Like, no.
I think it's hard. Like, again, just going back to our time, like a lot of women that we were raised by were taught that it's not pleasurable for women. It's a duty. You're doing
not
your job.
For you. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So what did we get in return? I think some of our parents, mine's a little younger than yours, but you know, like I had a parent who was kind of like on the fence, like was at some age learned that nah, I should be enjoying this as much as he's enjoying it, but also grew up where it was like, you marry, you have a husband, you have your wifely duties, and this is what you do. You know what I'm saying? So, and I was taught both ways that, you know, it can go either way. And then just evolving with my time and things being different, like I would never teach my daughter that, you know, like you would never hear, we can even take it as far as like how some women now will portray the duty as an assault. Right. Mm-hmm. And so it's just the evolution of it, of just the story of sex itself. Right. And I just think that I'm glad that we're in a place where we are now, because no woman, girl, anybody should ever feel like you can't be comfortable with who you are, what you expect, and you shouldn't have to do things that you don't want to do because you feel like you're supposed to.
Right. Don't feel obligated.
Don't feel obligated. Like, you know, you're a human being, have feelings just like everybody else. Yes. So, yeah, I'm glad that we have overcome that part of it.
I am too. Yeah. And I will say, because of the platform that we had and the fact that we did openly speak about that stuff, that's why I was able to always be very confident in knowing, no, this is what I want. This is what I deserve. This is that. Like, honestly, having that platform and having people to openly talk to about it without, like, it was viewed as entertainment at the moment, even though we were talking about real shit and real experiences and real things we were going through. But having that helped a lot. So it's nice to know that now people just talk about, like, everyone has that now. They don't have to be on a podcast to, like, fucking have right. a safe space. They can just do that naturally. And that's
the door to me. Open now. That
it's entertainment and education at the same time.
Exactly.
Like I said, like, I came into, like, I was a late bloomer, basically. Mm-hmm. So I, you know, my first sexual experience was not a great one. It wasn't even a good one. It was a terrible one, actually. So that experience kind of stirred me away from and kind of put me into that unknowing celibate state of mind. So with that evolution of everyone is so open to talking about sex now that it has not only given me confidence, but awakened my, you know, curiosity of exploring. It's like, I'm doing something that maybe, you know, most people explore in their early 20s. I'm doing it now just because I feel more comfortable because society has made it comfortable for me to do so. And I was like in that deep set of mind where I did not want, you know, physical touch was not even a thing for me. I don't like it. I'm just now learning that. So starting with not only, you know, expressing the education and entertainment of sex with others, it's sex with myself.
Yes.
It all starts there too. And that's something that I've learned too. Like, oh, maybe I don't have to share that. I don't have to be intimate with someone so soon, so fast. If I'm not ready because of the pressure, I can learn to love myself and start small, start there, start, you know, with me. So I think that was a big step too.
I'll be honest with you. I started my self-love journey very young. And I have always advocated this as well, that, like, masturbation, solo sex, self-love, whatever you want to call it, like, is so healthy and it is so important, mm-hmm. especially as a woman, because if you don't know what you like, how can you tell someone else what you like? How can you know, hey, I know for a fact if he just moves over a little bit to the right, right there. You know what I mean? Like, you don't know this stuff unless you know yourself. So I've always been a big advocate. Can't keep my hands to myself. Sorry.
Is that what that song is about?
No, I don't think so.
I was like, let me go back and listen to those
words. I know, right? I'm like, I don't think so. That song just played in my head for some reason. But yeah, like, I'm a big advocate for that because as women, I'm like, know what makes you feel good. Know yourself and your body and every aspect of you so that you are more open and willing to, you know, give it to your partner when you get to that point where you do want to give it to someone. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
And take your time.
Starting point, I also feel safe.
Yeah.
I feel comfort in knowing I can pleasure myself. I feel I am a safe space to do that.
I don't need no man. No,
just kidding. I gotta buy me a drink still. I gotta buy me a drink and take me out to dinner first, but I'll treat me right and end it good.
I still take myself on dates.
I do.
Yeah. That's good.
I think, like you said, like, just discovering yourself, I can say, like, I'm approaching my 40s, right? And I have two children. And so, of course, the perception of me would be a woman who's had a lot of sex, right? And mm-hmm. done things and know things. But I can honestly say I'm still trying to figure it out. Yeah. Like, I'm still navigating those waters. I think I've spent since I've started having sex, I think I was 17-ish, mm-hmm. somewhere around there. I've probably had less sex than I've had sex. since I was 17. If I'm just being
like timeline wise, yeah,
right? Mm-hmm. Timeline wise, I've probably had less sex than more sex, mm-hmm. which again may seem crazy given that I have two children and people will perceive it differently. But I think a lot of it in the beginning was just that wilding out stage, kind of. I think I was more just not even exploring to like find myself or to find, I think it was more rebellion. I'll say that. And so like doing it was never in my mind of like, oh, you're doing this to figure something out, or you're doing this to, I never even cared if I was satisfied or not. It was something else, right? It wasn't for the right reasons. A lot of it was not for the right reasons. And I know that now.
Right.
I see that now. And so like, here I am again, approaching 40, and I'm like, there's still so much of the unknown mm-hmm. for me in that area. And I think that it's funny because again, I'm sure not a lot of people get that perception.
Right.
See that. And you know, but it's all about in your timing. You've got to figure it out, and you've got to, you know, I have masturbated. I'm not a huge fan of it, mm-hmm. but it's, you know, you just got to find, don't feel like you have to be on a timeline to figure out what that is mm-hmm. or what it is that, you know, you like or want or need. Like, the time will come and mm-hmm. you'll figure that out, or the right person will come. Cause I do believe that that makes a whole lot of difference.
Hell yeah, it does.
Just based off my experiences, like, I've been in, you know, relationships after relationship and been with people and I'm like, don't care for it. Like, okay, we do it. Cool. Not, I'm cool with that too, you know? And then been in a relationship where I'm like, motherfucker, is you crazy? Get your ass over here now. Like, you know, so I think like the person has a lot to do with the two, and just how you, and again, it's about your safe space.
Yeah.
I think it has a lot to do with that, is just finding that safe space and that person that makes you feel that way. And it could just be yourself, could be somebody else, you know, but I think that don't put a timeline on yourself or pressure on yourself to be like, oh, well, I'm here and, you know, I need to know now what it is. Like, it take time to figure it out.
Yeah.
I feel like sex with yourself from personal experience has also like help me be more selective when sharing it with someone else. Mm-hmm. So, you know, when sometimes you have that itch that you got to scratch and you're like, who am I going to call? What do I got to do? I feel like the time that I take for myself, I'm like, I don't have to either lower my standards, put myself in the situation, or go mm-hmm. back to that person that I should not be going back to. Mm-hmm. It kind of helps with that healing process of, shit, I know my worth. Maybe this is going to help. It's really, and sometimes it stopped me from making those calls where it's like, that wouldn't be a good idea if I reached out to that person. So it's definitely helped me be more selective with who I share those experiences with. That's, I think, good. That's a big plus for, you know, for those who self-love.
Absolutely. No, that's really good. And I mean, there's a big stigma just when you're single, right? People make assumptions. When you're single and you have kids, it's even fucking worse, right? But I mean, we've all went through phases where, you know, myself included, where we're single, but not celibate. You know what I'm saying? And how do you guys think you guys get through those phases, like, without apology, just kind of owning it? Like, yes, I am single. Yes, I am having sex. Mind your fucking business, you know, or don't. Who cares, right? But like, how do you guys feel you got through owning those stages in your life, or are owning them?
I mean, I just feel like that comes from within, right? That comes from the not caring about what people think, not caring about what people say. And that's a lot easier said than done. But I think you just have to be authentic with yourself mm-hmm. and know that what you're doing is not bad. Men do it all day long. And again, it's a double standard because men can do it all day long and they're not questioned about it. But yet when a woman does it, it's, you know, a list of dirty names. And I just feel like, don't put me in a box that you wouldn't put yourself in.
Right.
At the end of the day. And yes, ladies, you know, to each his own, but then you have to have some sort of standard and care about yourself too, right? Mm-hmm. Because as much as we don't want to put a double standard on it, there is a difference.
Yeah.
I personally feel, you know, I believe in soul ties and I believe in a lot of things like that too. So I think we do have to be more careful and be more selective, to your point, B. But I also feel like if that's what you want to do and you're comfortable with everything that comes with it, do what you want to do.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. You know, like you're only going to live this life once. Mm-hmm. So
I feel like if you're not hurting anybody, if it's not, you're not homewrecking a relationship, you're not putting yourself in danger, you're not, you know, if it's consensual both ways, there should not be any shame.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. That's
but also to your point too, like you don't, that stigma of like, oh, it's double standards. If girls go out and enjoy themselves as much as men could do, you know, the standards of how they're viewed are different. I agree. I kind of still have that mindset too. I'm like, girl, you have a roster.
Yeah.
I'm trying to keep my numbers down. That's why I keep going back to the guys that I shouldn't be, because I'm trying to keep my numbers down.
Been there, done that.
Made a t-shirt. No, just kidding.
Yeah. I think that's the loophole that I found. Is like, I keep going back to the people that I shouldn't be because I don't want to just put myself out there.
Right. No, that's definitely understandable. And then like to Shari's point, there is that double standard, but when you really think about it, and I hate to say this because it is how we think and it is how we've been kind of programmed to think, but like for women, sex is just very different. Mm-hmm. Like, and a lot of men don't understand that. And nowadays, sometimes even women don't really look at it that way either. But like for me, it's very different because as a man, I'm inserting myself into other things. Whereas as a woman, we are allowing you inside of our bodies, you know, mm-hmm. And it's, to me, it's a much more intimate situation for us to allow you in. And like to Shari's point, like she believes in energies and things like that, an exchange of energy. So like in the situation like that where someone is inserting into you versus you inserting into something or someone, like it's a very different situation. So although, like I said, I hate to like feed into the stereotype, it is different. Mm-hmm. It is different.
That's what I said. I hate to say that. Like,
right.
The double standard is there, but there is a piece of it that is true. And don't get me wrong. Yeah. I believe that men pick up energies as well. And soul ties are real for them too. They just don't. I don't think there's a man out there that I've known that believes in that. But it's like, mm-hmm. You should. Because hence the reason you're going through the shit you go through. Right?
Yeah.
But it is for them too. But again, it's the physical representation of what happens that makes it very different.
With that said though, like if you, to the lady's point earlier, if you are open and willing and know what the consequences could possibly be, and you know, it's consensual and everything that the lady's already previously said, then do you. Like it's another way that some people choose to get to know themselves.
And, like I said, I think the word when she said the shame, don't mm-hmm. be shameful about it.
Yes.
If you're going to do it, do it. Have a blast. Have fun. I'm not saying there's anything wrong with it because we all go through, whether it's a period in your life or this is what you do for a living. you know, like it is what it is.
Yes.
Be authentically you and that's fine. But I think like, you know, it's one of those things.
Yeah.
Gray areas.
Yes. Yeah.
It's a gray area for sure.
It's all based on perception at this point. You know what I mean? Yeah. Especially in this day and age where people are a lot more open to things and, you know, it do what makes you happy, know yourself, but also be safe. You know, I have to say that, like mm-hmm. be safe, protect yourself. I also say this, as far as like the stereotype goes, I hate that I'm about to say it. There's more consequence for women too. And like, I hate fucking saying this. I'm so mad at myself right now. There's more consequence for women because if you get pregnant and you decide to keep that baby, because I'm still pro-choice, okay? Sorry, pro-lifers, okay? If you get pregnant and you decide to keep that baby, you are carrying this child for 9 to 10 months. You know what I'm saying? Like, you're carrying this baby. You ain't out here fucking other people. You ain't out here. I mean, you could, but to each his own. But like, you know what I'm saying, though? Like, there's more. We have to walk around with the everyone seeing our consequences, right? Whereas a man can decide, I don't want nothing to do with this. I'm going to go and keep fucking, excuse my French. Not that I ever care that I curse. But yes. Mm-hmm. Yeah, they keep
full. And you don't walk around with the scarlet letter that you got a baby on the way.
Right. Right. Exactly. So it's like, that's another thing that unfortunately, as women, we also have to keep in mind is, okay, that's part of us saying, okay, if I'm okay with the consequences that could possibly come of it,
you got to make conscious decisions. One of
the big consequences.
Yeah. Like, being out here is a conscious decision that you have to make. Mm-hmm. Because it is a lot. It's a lot that can occur. Do you guys think that when it comes to sex, that men, do you think there's a difference between the emotional portion of it between men and women? Really? Not what we've been taught, not what people say. Based on your experience, do you believe there is a difference?
I think it depends on the person. I don't think it has anything to do with men and women. But I'm saying, like, the majority rule.
You know, people will be like, it's not an emotional thing for men. I beg to differ.
I beg to differ, too. But, again, it depends on the man.
Yeah, I mean, it depends on the woman, too. But I'm just saying, we've always been programmed to believe that it's more of an emotional thing for women. I don't know if I'd agree with that.
I still think that's true.
Is it for you, Bianca? You think it's more emotional for you?
No, I get called a man because I don't have an emotional connection.
Well, that's cool.
I don't. I lack the emotion. That's what sucks for me is that, like, I have more emotion with myself for self-loving, but intimacy is not. I'm not as emotionally attached before or afterwards where I'm like, he didn't sleep with me. I fucked him. I didn't come. He came. I fucked him.
I got him pregnant.
My mentality of sex has shifted from being so shy and celibate to now, like, no, I know what I like. I know what I don't like. I'm willing to explore more things. Like, I've had, you know, sex with a man. I've had sex with a woman. I've pegged a man. I've had a threesome. I've had experiences. I say experience everything twice just to make sure I wasn't with the right person the first time.
Right.
I am now shifting to that mindset. So, but I've been told from whenever I explain my scenarios or my experiences, they're like, God damn, you are the man in the relationship or you are the man in this scenario. I'm like, maybe.
But that just goes to show how much time has changed, though, because back in the day, if you were a woman sharing those types of experiences, oh my God, you know what I mean? Like, God forbid a woman actually know what she wants, you know what I'm saying? But it's honestly, it makes me happy to hear that you have control over your emotions like that, because I think, to Shari's point, that kind of what she kind of kept hinting towards too was like, not what we were told how it actually is, because from the outside, the perception back in the days was always, oh, he don't give a fuck and she does.
Yeah.
He don't catch feelings. Don't have sex
because women get emotionally attached. Right. It's like, nah, like, we just fuck buddies and we cool and we friends and let's just do what we do and keep it fucking moving. It don't have to be.
Right.
So men tend to not get involved with women because they always expect that women will be emotional about it. Mm-hmm. And then when you're not, you're all types of list of dirty names. Like, there's just no winning for us.
But they only said that because they were the ones that got emotional about it.
Right. Right.
And that's what valid points.
Yeah.
Let's be real about the situation, that I think there's an equal part of men that get emotionally attached as much as women do.
I agree.
I think it's more than the other.
You may be onto something, because you know what? Like, yeah, I know a lot more females that have that emotional disconnect from sex now, mm-hmm. and men being a little bit more sensitive to the topic. Do you think that sex now has lost the emotional intimacy part of it?
Maybe
now it's just willy nilly. I jokingly, I'm like, I'll kiss my friends. I don't care. Like, right. The emotional disconnect of that, the emotional intimacy part of that physical part, like it doesn't come together as much as it used to. That people just be having sex with anybody and everybody, and there's not much of that emotional consequence.
I think because when it comes to sex in this day and age, there's not much intimacy about it.
Mm-hmm. It's just sex.
It's just sex, mm-hmm. right? So I think it's more of that. Like, it's not. Yeah, I think sex has lost its intimacy. Mm-hmm. it's the only way to put it. I don't think people. It's not shielded. It's not hidden from no part of your life. Right? Nowhere can you go, and it's not talked about in some way, shape, or form. You know,
Chili's
at 1 o'clock. You turn on the radio, you turn on TV.
Yeah.
There's nowhere you can go and it's not there.
Right.
Social media, like mm-hmm. it's everywhere, right? Mm-hmm. So where is that? So with intimacy, I believe emotions are tied to that.
Mm-hmm.
And with that, the lack of that, I think it is. It's become just a free for all, have fun for everybody.
Yeah.
Are you taking it so personal that I'm fucking you and fucking her, or fucking him and fucking him?
Right.
It's become that. Like, don't take it personal.
Mm-hmm.
No, people, don't take it personal.
Yeah. I think, Bianca, you mentioned, like, that you get called the guy, right? Because you're not as intimately attached. Mm-hmm. But maybe you are a product of the way that the environment around you is now about sex. Mm-hmm. You may be a product of that. Yeah, you're a product of this evolution, essentially. Because I will tell you, girl, when the feelings are there, that shit is a million times better.
And yeah. I have yet to experience that.
Yeah.
I've been very open about that. I have yet to feel that emotional connection with somebody. Where I think I was telling one of my coworkers, again, free for all, it's an open conversation.
Right.
And I'm like, I have yet to have, you know, a man or woman sleep over in my bed. I feel like that's more intimate. I was like, how is them sleeping over in the same bed as me more intimate than the physical act of sex? Like, that's supposed to be the most intimate thing, but it just isn't. And I have yet to experience having sex with someone that I have that emotional connection with. So maybe there is that powerful energy that is, you know, exchange that, you know, some of us have not experienced or are missing out on because of the lack of emotional connection.
I think you hit the nail on the head when you said missing out on.
Because
I feel like you haven't really experienced everything that comes of sex until you have sex with somebody you just like.
That drives you crazy.
Yes. You just love the shit out of them.
Yeah, that's totally. And like, I think, and you know what, to say that to what I said earlier, like about learning yourself and having less sex than more sex. And it's like, it was that. It was never the right. And like I said, take time to find that right person.
Yeah.
Because I've never been like I said, for me, sex was like, meh, we do, we don't. But it was because of the person.
Because you needed that. You needed that connection.
That works for me.
Yeah.
That keeps me invested in the intimacy, in the sex life. If it's not, it's like, all right, cool. Like I said, all right, yeah, do it. Fun. But until you find that person that does it for you,
mm-hmm.
where you have that emotional connection, sex is, you don't know sex until that happens.
I agree. I will say, like, during my single, not celibate days, I definitely changed my expectation
mm-hmm.
when it came to sex, you know, just up here, like mm-hmm. not even necessarily like in general, just up here. Like, at that point in my life, sex was just sex because I wasn't trying to have the intimacy. I wasn't trying to get involved emotionally because I had already been through some shit in my life. So I was just like, I'm good. You know what I mean? Like,
I just want to have fun.
And then Gabe came and all the feelings started coming. God damn it, Gabe. No, I'm just kidding. But like, no, like, I think the mentality was different for me though then. Mm-hmm. I had to change my expectation of if you want sex for the satisfaction, the sexual satisfaction, just keep in mind that emotional connection that makes this shit fucking amazing is not there. So my expectation's different.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'll just have sex with myself for now. It's fine.
Yeah. Enjoy her all day.
Every day. And what works for you works for you. Like I said, don't put a timeline on yourself to find that. Don't feel rushed to find that. Because some people don't find it for a very long time.
Mm-hmm.
It, you know, it's not always when you think it should happen.
Yep.
There's no time frame. I've heard women say like they don't have amazing sex to their 40s and 50s. Like some women don't even hit their prime until then, you know, like it's very different.
I had a lot of women in my life tell me, girl, wait till you turn 40.
40. Yeah. I've heard the 40s for women are amazing. So take your time. You got time.
Oh, I gotta wait so much longer.
Oh man. With that said, real talk. Enjoy it. Enjoy. If you're having it, great. If you're not, that's fine too. Like, don't put too much emphasis on it, which is good because that's kind of what they're doing nowadays. Like, it's just sex.
Yeah.
It's just sex. But with that said, we are at the top of the hour. I can't, that went by really fast. I'm like, I could have kept going for like another hour. No,
we didn't talk about partners. We didn't talk about positions.
Yes, we haven't done anything yet.
We're just laying the foundation. That was like the purpose.
We kind of like scratched it just a little bit. We even got in it.
We might have to.
It was like a scratch and sniff.
We did a little. We did a little of that right now with this.
It was like Bianca's book on Spotify.
We're just barely getting there, baby.
We're definitely gonna need a part two to this episode for sure.
Part three, part four,
part four.
Our guests on. Tell me what y'all experiences are. We didn't hear much from our guests. I'm sorry, we did not like interact as much.
We did not.
Apologies.
We were focused.
We had something to say this week.
We were focused. But if you guys are not following us on all platforms, Bianca, where can they find us?
If you, your family, friends, or coworkers are not following us on any social media, grab their phones and follow, like, and subscribe to us on YouTube, Facebook, and Instagram at It's No Secret Podcast, and our TikTok account at It's No Secret Podcast Live. Mm-hmm. And if you cannot join us on Wednesdays for our live streams, then we have our audio available on Spotify and Apple Podcasts every Sundays.
Yes. Real quick before we close out, Nikita. In our comments again, she said, this was the expectation setting intro. Mm-hmm. We'll see you next time for the real deal.
That's right.
That was too good to not read.
It was. And that was the perfect way to close it out. Remember, until next week when we finish this conversation, it's no secret.
Bye. Bye.